Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope you are either outside exercising or listening to this show. One of the two. You have no real choice. Put on your thinking caps, as always, the higher concept, to make sure you get to where you want to go. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Please get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. That's with two T's. We're going to start with a quote today from Steve Jobs, one of my heroes. Probably some of you share that sentiment. Other people thought he was a beast. However, I'm a Steve Jobs fan. Go to picture number 31. Now look at this, your work. This is Your Work by Steve Jobs. Have you noticed Apple? It's just not quite as sharp as they were a year ago. Anybody notice that? Look for that. There's nobody like Steve Jobs. Read this quote, because this has a lot to do with the show today. This has a lot to do with you. Steve Jobs on work, on thinking outside the box. Why is this relevant to your house, to your health? Because tomorrow morning, you're going to go to church, and you're going to pray for a better life. You're going to pray for wisdom. And then Monday, you're going to sit there behind your desk, and you know as well as I do, it's going to start to fall apart. Because most of what you do is work. Now, work's a bad word, because it shouldn't be work. We've got this whole vernacular of New Ageism calling work your passion, your love, your this. What does that mean to you tomorrow morning in traffic on the way to work? It means a new perspective. If you're spending money on supplements to get through your day, that is a perspective, but I want to offer you a higher perspective. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. Now, he lived that. He walked that talk from the day he was born, adopted, right? His parents gave him away. His parents were hippies, early hippies. And Steve Jobs was given away for adoption. You know the story. And the one request his parents had to the people they donated their baby to, something, of course, you would never do. The one request they had was to send this kid to college. And I believe Steve Jobs never graduated college. But what Steve Jobs learned is perspective. Perspective through suffering. And he applied it where it counts. Now, I'm not knocking prayer at all. Nor am I going to knock institution. Nor am I going to knock supplements. But you know what? The rubber hits the road Monday morning at 9 a.m. when you start your week. Can you attach to this? And that's the point of today's show. I want you to think of your expenditure in health, in nutrition, in all the things you do, those herbs you buy, those cleanses you do, as something that's supposed to be funneled into work. Okay, your relationship's important. Your friends are important. Yes, there's work and there's family and all these things. But I'm going to offer you a perspective. And I think this is very Jobsian, if we can coin the phrase. And that is, while you're focused on this, that, and the other thing, there is one looming beast sitting on your lap asking you to listen. And that is, how are you utilizing your creative force in the workplace? And if you can't, and if you're not, understand this. So I'm going to give you the whole show in a nutshell now. Understand this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're sitting there and you're thinking this has no relevance to you on Monday morning driving a bus or digging a ditch or cleaning a toilet or defending a criminal or running a company for a service you don't believe in, if you think this doesn't have anything to do with you, you're exactly who's supposed to listen first and foremost. Because what you're being asked to do is to understand that if you're interested in your health, if you're interested in reducing the probability that you'll get sick at an early age instead of an old age, that you'll just pass fluidly, if you're investing dollars and cents and hard-earned money into herbal supplements and the rest of it, understand the paradox. And the paradox is, if you're in a hole, if you're exhausted, if you're whatever you are, the money you spend in nutrition has to be funneled into a creative passion because it collapses. And you see this all the time as a doctor. You see people coming in that aren't even at first base. What does that mean? It means they don't function. It means they live in pain. It means they have real symptomology. They've got diagnoses. They've got diseases. They've been to 10 different places for help, holistic and allopathic. And then they have that great experience. They start to heal. They get to what I'm going to call first base. You feel better. You feel like there's some return on your investment. 90% of the time, these are exactly the people that start spinning. And where do you start spinning? On the way to second base. Because, and here's the perspective, the energy that you liberate, you don't channel into great work. If you heal, if you can understand that your symptomology is blocked creative force, then you have to concede. You have to make it imperative to find out where you're going to put that liberated creative energy. Do you have a consciousness that can attach to what I'm talking about? If you're going to pray tomorrow, pray for an understanding of what I just said, because it will take you to where it counts. We live in these dichotomies. We live in these isolated pockets. I have my family. I have my wife. I have my children. I have my job. I have the things I have to do. And we compartmentalize all of this into seemingly independent segments. And then we get sick. And then we're 60. And then we have problems. And then we spend money on our health. And then we worry. And we are into this circular spiral. It's the first base mentality of health. You have to find the consciousness to attach to a deeper level here, which is, the problem is, well, just read it. Your work, which fills a large part of your life, asks you to do great work. And the only way you can do great work is to love what you do. If you drive a bus and you don't love what you do, if you dig a ditch and you don't love what you do, take it step by step by step. And make your journey a journey to doing great work. Okay, fine. You've heard it before. More easily said than done. Go to Barnes & Noble. There's a whole shelf on people that'll tell you that. That's not what the show is about. I wouldn't waste your time and mine just to say that. The connection you're not making, the connection that needs to be really meditated upon, is the connection between that gallbladder flush you did and how to make this little Steve Jobs maxim real in your life. The connection between the cleanse, the expenditure of herb, the connection between all the things you do for your health, the connection between that point in your healing journey where you want to kill everything in sight. You want to divorce your husband. You want to get rid of your kids. You hate life. You're angry at God. This show is asking you to address that moment where you feel betrayed. Somebody close to you dies, and life is not fair. Something happens to you that is not fair. Something bad happens to you. This show asks you to consider that in that moment, the money you spend on your health is done to fortify yourself into a higher thought so that Monday morning you can apply yourself to what you need to make your creative experience higher in the workplace. That means you have problems, work harder. You have problems, work better. If you can't find something liberating in the work you do, get better work. Oh, I can't do this, my family. Do you know what you teach your children? You teach your children the same weakness that many of us suffer from, the fear to take a chance. Oh, but I have a lifestyle. Oh, but my neighbors. Oh, but my family. Oh, but, you know, I've worked, I've done this so long. Here's another statement. Wonderful statement. Wonderful statement by a guy named Bikram. You know Bikram yoga. Well, we don't want to talk really about personalities here. But what we want to talk about are people who have walked their talk on this level, and especially those in the health community. Because there's people like Bikram, like Steve Jobs, like Gurdjieff. There are people out there who have made this connection. Now, physiologically speaking, what are we talking about? We're talking about the ability to make the endorphin or the dynorphin. Look at picture number 22. Picture number 22. That's the chemical structure of dynorphin. Dynorphin is one of God's chemicals. If you look at picture number 21, what you're going to see in picture number 21 is a sagittal view of the brain showing you opiate receptors in the central nervous system. Those opiate receptors bind dynorphins, endorphins, enkephalins, metenkephalins, dopamine, serotonin, the God experience, the happy chemicals. We make them, and the brain binds them. And when the brain binds them, the eye through which you see your world shifts to another vantage point. So let me introduce a word, vantage point. Do you know what mental illness is? Do you know what your schizophrenia is? Do you know what your obsessive compulsive disorder is? Do you know what your anxiety is? Do you know what your depression is? Do you know what your ADD is? Do you know what your bipolar disorder is? It's an inability to shift your vantage point to a different angle of perception. We all look at the same world. We all see the horror. We all feel the pain. But there's a moment then where we rely upon an internal mechanism through which you shift your perception of that problem. You dig a ditch. You wash a car. You drive a bus. You raise 5 kids by yourself. You're disabled. You have cancer. People don't like you. You've been slandered. You're waking up to the fact that you've been ripped off. It's the government. It's the church. It's your mother. It's your father. It's your family. You've been betrayed out of an inheritance. Everybody's got the same list. And we all put the face on every day like we don't. When we do, the point is, can you produce the chemicals, the dynorphins, the enkephalins, that bind the opiate receptors in your brain to shift your vantage point? I'm talking about a bodily experience. This isn't something you can do.